Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
We've each been given by God one lifetime with limited resources. How you steward those resources is your gift back to God. And today we're going to discover how to steward life in light of eternal priorities. Stay with us next with Dr. Paul Chappell, a new series, Stewarding Life. Truly, life is a gift from God, and each of us has one lifetime to live with limited resources. So here's the question today. Are you spending or are you investing your life? God has given you a life and filled it with resources like time and health and finances and relationships. How you steward those resources will determine whether you successfully fill God's eternal purpose for your life. I'm Kerry Schmidt, and this is Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. Daily in the Word comes to you every Monday through Friday, and we hope you'll join us for every step of this journey, stewarding life. You can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. When you do, you can listen to recent broadcasts, including all of the broadcasts for this series, Stewarding Life. And be sure to take a look at Dr. Chappell's new book that goes along with this series. It's entitled Stewarding Life. It's a couple hundred pages hardback, and it encapsulates all the great truths we're studying in one hardback book. You can find information about all of these resources at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today we're going to discover how to steward our trials. Our text is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's Paul Chappell.
Well, a lot of times when a pastor says we're going to learn about stewardship, we think in terms of money or time or the blessings of life. And certainly there's an application to each of those categories. A lot of times we think about how can I take care of the stuff that God has given to me. But this morning, I want you to take a few moments with me to think about something in the realm of stewardship that isn't the most pleasant subject, and that is, how can I steward the trials that come into my life and the difficulties that are a part of the fiber of my life? Now, we know, according to Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to those that are the called and those that are called according to His purpose. We know that God is always working through the various circumstances of life for a purpose. But if we're honest, we don't always and we don't immediately understand His purposes when the trials come into our life and when the difficulties come into our life. And it seems as though when we study the Scriptures that the same God that allows blessings also allows some trials and some difficulties to come our way. And it seems like you look at some people's life and you'll say, well, that guy's really blessed. He got a promotion, he got a new car, he got a new job, and boy, look over here. This guy's pretty faithful to church too, and his marriage didn't do so well, and they've really been struggling financially. And it's interesting sometimes just to see that God at different seasons gives all of us blessings, and then He gives us burdens too. For example, you might see a guy, and his life seems to be going just great, and in his life, he's going to get some blessings, and fellas, come on up here and help me with this. We'll just illustrate it this way today. What's your name? All right, Cody, so Cody's going to receive, and I'm certainly not the Lord, but just to illustrate how life goes along, he gets up one morning, and Cody's been a good worker for a while, and he comes into work, and his boss says, look, you've done a great job. We're going to promote you to supervisor. We're going to give you a big raise and company car and all kinds of stuff, and keep up the good work, Cody. Here's your promotion. And Cody says, yeah, I like to steward this. That's awesome, and he takes his promotion. He's happy. he tells his wife about it, you know, and he's on his way, and boy, God is good. And you know, with the American mentality of promotion and materialism and bigger is better, according to our definition of success, boy, he's made it. And he's really a good Christian because, you know, he's getting a blessing. And so we like to think of stewardship in the terms of what can I get out of it. But then, you know, the next guy comes along and it's not really about a promotion. In fact, God, according to his plan, has something different for his life. And what's your name?
Reuben.
All right, so Reuben, he comes along. I mean, he had his devotions this morning. He was in church with all of us on Sunday. He's doing his best. But instead of a promotion, God's going to allow him to get a pink slip. And so he came to work thinking it'd be a great day, and instead, his company's downsizing, and what he got was he got a pink slip, and that's kind of how it went. And like most American Christians, his attitude towards the whole thing is not that great, and he might even stop going to church next Sunday. If that's all God can do, then why go to church? I mean, if that's what you get for going to church and tithing and being faithful, then why keep going, you know? Now, the next guy comes along, and he's a good fella, and he's been faithful and having his devotions, and this is Brother Larry Knight, and Larry comes along here, and how you doing, Larry? And Larry's been faithful, and the Lord allows something into Larry's life. He didn't even know that he had a rich uncle who'd been living overseas, and man, this rich uncle passed away, and Larry, this morning you've inherited $100,000, and I want you to steward that well, all right? Now, don't spend it all in and out, okay?
Amen.
And you try to steward that. And again, boy, someone says, man, teach me how to steward $100,000. That's great. That's the kind of stewardship I want to know about. How can I take care of $100,000? But, you know, the next guy comes up and same thing. He had his devotions. He did his very best and did all that he could do to honor the Lord. And Brother Ron comes along and he's been faithful to his wife and faithful to church for 20 years. And yet what he's going to get today is the news that there's sickness in his family, and they're going to spend the next many weeks at intensive care and ICU, and that's just the way it was. That's what God allowed for some reason. We don't really always understand, but it's the reality that sometimes that's what God allows into people's lives, and sometimes we're not real happy. Sometimes we don't understand, but that's how it goes. And then, you know, the next guy comes along, and he's also been doing his best and just living for the Lord. What's your name?
Dave.
Dave, I'll tell you what, Dave waited for the right time. He's a young married couple. He didn't buy at the high time. He didn't buy his new house at the high time or high interest rate. He's buying his house in 2011, 4.2% interest. He's buying it for $62,000, and it's a brand new turnkey. Here's the keys to your brand new house, all right? And boy, he's excited. Man, he's got a new home. They're going to paint it. They're going to decorate it. He's just so excited, and God is good. God's given him a brand new house. But there's one more guy, and Brother John, if you'll come on up here. And John, he's been faithful in church. He did all the right things. He was counseled by the mortgage advisors, and boy, he took his life savings several years ago. He invested, but things have changed. His job's not the same. The economy's not the same. And as it turns out, while one guy got a new house, he found out today that he's going to have to leave his house, and he's losing his house, and that's kind of how it goes sometimes in life, and that's what he and his family are facing in 2011. Not a new house, but no house. And so it is. Sometimes we're just rejoicing with what God gives, and sometimes it's not as easy as we thought. Now, if there was ever anybody in human history that understood that good and bad come into the equation of one single life, it was a man by the name of Job. Maybe you've read the book of Job before, but just look at some of the scriptures in your notes. In Job 2 and verse 10, it says, "But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips." Now, if you remember Job's wife, she was anything but a blessing. I mean, one time she looks at Job and she goes, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" What a wonderful wife, you know. And Job says to her, what? "I'm supposed to love God when he's good and hate God when he's bad? Or I'm supposed to love God when he's good and hate God when he doesn't do the good things for me?" And so he had a right perspective. Look at verse 26 of Job 30. When I looked for good, then evil came. And when I waited for light, then there came darkness. Job 1:21. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But here's the key phrase this morning, Job 1:22. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now, how are you going to steward whatever it is that's going on in your life today? Linus one time was talking to Charlie Brown. They were chatting along, and Linus said, you know, I don't like to face problems head on. I think the best way to solve problems is to avoid them. In fact, this is a distinct philosophy of mine. No problem is so big or so complicated that it can't be run away from. And that's what a lot of people do. When they're faced with sickness, when they're faced with unemployment, the first thing they want to do is move to Idaho, maybe quit church, maybe get bitter, maybe decide it was some other person's fault. And the fact of the matter is that many people are good at running away from their problems. But we're going to learn that that's not God's will, that God has a way for us to confront and to face these problems. And to steward our trials successfully and to steward them biblically, we're going to have to yield to God. We're going to have to accept where we are and then say, Lord, lead me through this time. And that's what the Apostle Paul is going to teach us this morning. A man who faced tremendous infirmities, and yet God brought him through, and God can bring you through too. Notice there's three areas of growth that will occur in your life if you allow God to lead you through the trials. The first area that I want you to focus on with me this morning is the area of humility. The area of humility. You know, a lot of people, without realizing it, we can have pride creep up into our hearts. Why, who is he to tell me how to do that? And why, what in the world? My wife is always saying this to me, or my husband's always saying this to me. Who does he think he is? And did you know that all of us can get to the place in our lives where there's more pride than we really want to admit? Now, Paul the Apostle shed some light on that, and I want you to notice it in chapter 12 and verse 7 as we begin the message today. He says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buff me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, if you were listening a minute ago in verses 1 through 6, Paul was talking about how he went up into the third heaven, into paradise, and how he received revelation from God, and how he had heard from God, and of course was given an opportunity that no other man in this same way had been given. The Bible is very clear that Paul had been given divine revelations no other man saw or heard. He was God's chosen instrument to reveal the grace of God through the New Testament writings. The third heaven, paradise, was a place that he had visited. And Paul himself said nothing about this experience other than to say that Christ was doing a great work in his life. Now, let me tell you, my friends, had you and I had this experience, I'll tell you what the average guy today would have done. He would have talked about it on his blog. He would have written a book about it. He would have had TV interviews about it. He would have had seminars telling you how to get to the third heaven and what to do when you get up there, you know? And so, lest he got too caught up in himself, lest he got caught up with pride. Notice what it says in verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. In other words, folks, I don't think it's stretching the context to say that God purposed one of the works that he was going to do in Paul's life was a work of humility. And lest he got to thinking more highly of himself, God was going to allow a trial to come into his life. Now, how does God accomplish this work of humility? How does God bring this about in one's life? Let me give you a few things that we need to focus on this morning. First of all, focus on the presence of the trial. We see the presence of the trial. It is referred to in verse 7. It is called a thorn in the flesh. In verse 5, it is referred to again as an infirmity or a weakness. Now, there are two schools of thoughts that Bible scholars have about what is the thorn in the flesh. The first school of thought is that the thorn in the flesh might have been the Jews that followed him everywhere. They followed him, the Bible says, to Lystra on his first missionary journey and literally took stones and threw the stones at him until his life was nearly taken away. And how many of you would agree? That's a thorn in the flesh. Having people follow you everywhere you preach and throw rocks at you would be a thorn in the flesh. But most Bible scholars believe his thorn in the flesh was a disease that affected his eyes, some type of a physical ailment or a sickness like we mentioned earlier. In Galatians chapter 4, it is referenced this way. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation was in my flesh, and ye despised it not. Verse 15, that if it had been possible, I bear you record, that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. So Paul says to the Galatians, I had a problem with my eyes. You love me so much. You would have even given me your eyes if you could have. His infirmity was real. His infirmity was a physical infirmity that he held and he had present in his body. But notice not only the presence of his infirmity, notice secondly, the purpose of his trial or his infirmity. Why did God allow this to happen? Why are you sitting in a situation that's perhaps difficult right now today? Well, go back to verse 7 and notice what it says. And lest I should be exalted above measure. Let's say that together. Lest I should be exalted above measure. The word here, exalted above measure, these words mean to lift up or raise up. Paul would be exalted in the eyes of others, in the eyes of himself, had God not allowed the infirmity to come into his life. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, for I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. In other words, he could have impressed everyone outwardly, but God knew what was going on in his heart. God knew what he needed and when he needed it in his life. So the presence of the trial reveals the purpose of the trial. That was the humbling work of God. Now, this is amazing when we think about humility. I want you to see, thirdly, the pathway of the trial. The way that God engineered or allowed this to happen. Notice what it says in verse 7 once again. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. And so God says the pathway, the way I'm bringing this trial is Satan is going to attack you, and I'm going to allow that attack to take place. The word buffet means to blow with one's fist. And it seems like everywhere Paul went, he was being blown or hit or buffeted by the devil every step of the way. And no one who's going forward for the Lord goes forward without some buffeting or some trials in their life. But I want you to remember this morning that all of the fiery trials are Father filtered. In other words, Satan cannot bring something to pass unless the Lord deems that it is something that you can handle with his grace and something that is according to his will. Sometimes when trials have come into my life, I have had the thought at first like, Lord, why does this happen? Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to a family member or to a friend? And sometimes in our American culture and thinking, we think that, you know, trials are for other people, not for us. Difficulties, not for us. And when it seems like the Lord says, look, here's something that you're going to have to carry for a while. Here's something that's going to be a difficulty in your life. Our attitude in a subtle, proud way is, why me? And the Lord has often convicted me, why not you? Why not you? You see, the Bible says in 1 Peter 4 and verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. In other words, the Bible says, hey, when your trial comes, don't think it's so strange. Don't act like, why me? This shouldn't be happening to me. It is common in the Christian life. You see, nothing enters your life accidentally. Nothing comes upon you accidentally. God in his sovereignty allowed Satan even to buffet against the Apostle Paul. And so God says, when the trial comes, if you'll allow me to do a work in your life, if you'll steward this properly, you're going to get something out of it. And the first thing he's going to give to the Apostle Paul is humility. He's going to humble his heart and prepare him for the greater days ahead through this trial. Notice secondly this morning what God wants to give you in the time of trial. And that is stability. Stability. Now join me in verse number 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, if I may digress just for a moment to say that there are those who preach from pulpits that it's always God's will for everybody to be healed and to be healed instantly by faith. Paul was an apostle. He asked three times. His trial was not taken away from him. His eyes were not healed that we know of. God chose in this case, instead of removing the affliction, to give him strength and stability through the affliction. And so Jesus says in verse 9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul then says, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon him. Now my friend, this morning God's ways are perfect, and God's will is better than my want. God's will is better than your want. And what we learn in the trials is to come to the place where Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, not my will, but thine be done. Now, how do we get stability? You know, when we have these trials and when we're facing these moments, it seems like we could fall over. We could cry a thousand tears. We're going to not have a place to live, we might think, or we're not going to make it through the trial. And you're saying, Pastor, you're talking about stability. I feel very unstable right now in my life. Well, how can we find stability? First of all, we are going to be strengthened by the grace of God. We are going to be strengthened by the grace of God. My grace is sufficient for thee. Now, the word grace, the Greek word charis, is a beautiful word. It's mentioned 155 times in our Bible. It is mentioned as that beautiful gift of God, that dynamic force that transforms a believer into a believer and then strengthens the believer throughout his life from the inside out. It is the encouraging, helpful work of the Holy Spirit of God. And God says, I'm going to give you grace. And when you feel like you're going to fall over, I'm going to help you back up and I'm going to make you stronger than you were before. This past spring, I had an unusual season in my own life. And it just kind of came upon me suddenly. And after 25 plus years of preaching and dealing with lots of problems and developing a staff team and over $50 million of building programs and all of these different things. I mean, going at it 120 miles an hour for 25 years and missing lots of sleep and just enjoying every minute of it, just going and going and going. And suddenly, all of a sudden, last February, long story short, I just ran out of gas. I mean, I completely ran out of energy. And I went to the doctors. I said, what is going on? And I just didn't feel right. It felt dizzy and tired. And they said, you know what? You need to take some time of rest. You need to take some time of rest. And I took that as some time with the Lord as well. And I began to read various books and read through the Bible and spent a lot of time trying to understand some things. And I'm telling you, I was so tired. I felt so unstable. I could not preach a message, much less give the announcements. I could not answer a phone call, much less try to train a staff member or try to counsel a marriage. I just didn't have the strength to get it done. And one day, as I was praying and feeling the weakness that had come over me, I began to meditate on this verse, verse number 9. And I began to meditate on the fact that my strength is made perfect in weakness. And I began to think about that. Lord, you said that when I am weak, then you can be strong through me. And so I took some time that day and I began to journal out some of the things the Lord was telling me. And I wrote down this phrase. I simply said, I will embrace my weakness that I may glory in my Christ.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're presently studying a series entitled Stewarding Life. You can find out more about this series and hear recent broadcasts when you visit dailyintheword.org. Be sure to also consider subscribing to our daily devotional and the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word, take it with you on your computer or phone, and listen to it at your convenience. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcasts. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Don't forget to visit us online at dailyintheword.org, and don't forget to look at Dr. Chappell's two newest books, Stewarding Life and Sacred Motives. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition, and until next time, have a great day.